the World. I'm John Batchelor. Impeachment, a word that's been used repeatedly these last years. Once upon a time in my youth, it was a word that got very little use, but when it was, good heavens, Richard Nixon. However, these days in the 21st century, it's become a coin of the realm of Washington, D.C., and I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, a recovering politician writing in American Greatness, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online, writing one more time about impeachment. This time, we can pretend the tables are turned. The word is being used by Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House and the leader of the Republican Party, about Joe Biden. The last time it was used, the Speaker of the House was Nancy Pelosi, and it was about the Republican President Donald Trump. Andy, a very good evening to you. I go for a spoiler alert to begin with. In your discerning column in the National Review Online, you make it very clear that the House of Representatives, in this fencing match it's entering into, knows the end of the story will be a rejection by the U.S. Senate. Do I say that correctly, Andy? Good evening to you.
Yes, John, and good evening to Thaddeus as well. That's the best outcome. The more likely outcome, I would say, is that they never get to a Senate trial, but the ultimate outcome, if everything goes swimmingly well for Republicans in the House who want to press the impeachment case against Joe Biden, is that to get a president convicted and removed constitutionally, you need a two-thirds supermajority of the Senate. You couldn't even get a simple majority of the Senate at this point because the Democrats have a 51-49 margin there. And what that means, John, is you would have to get every Republican to vote for impeachment and 19 Democrats to desert Joe Biden and vote for impeachment. We all know that will never happen. And I think that's part of the reason Kevin McCarthy didn't seek a vote in the House. There's not enough Republicans who think this is worth doing to force a vote. And it would have been humiliating to lose a vote. So we're not having a vote. We're just sua sponte proceeding to an impeachment inquiry.
So we're entering into a contest where everybody knows the best possible outcome is loser. And there are many more in between. But let us enter into the contest. Mr. McCarthy notes that Mr. Comer's committee in the House of Representatives has been doing a very good job inquiring about these allegations about the president and his involvement with his son and executives from Ukraine. That's the first inquiry that's underway. So why was it that Mr. McCarthy moved to this formal word impeachment when the House of Representatives Oversight Committee was doing very well?
I think, John, a lot of this is the politics that began with McCarthy's very difficult road to become speaker. That marathon session, I can't remember, was it 17 rounds or 19 rounds of voting before he finally got over the top? But he had to make a number of concessions to the pro-Trump group in the Senate, in the House, which I think punches above its weight, particularly the Freedom Caucus guys, in terms of influence with the GOP base. There's not enough of them to win an impeachment vote in the House, which would be opposed by every Democrat. McCarthy's margin is a mere 4. So he can't afford to lose more than 3, really, on any vote. So he was stuck. He knew that the people who have a lot of influence with the base were pushing very hard to get this impeachment inquiry. He knows that Donald Trump wants it because he likes the idea of having a parallel impeachment proceeding in the House and ultimately trial in the Senate, while he is undergoing all these indictments and trials in the criminal justice system. So that's why they want it. But McCarthy knew that if they put it to a vote, they would have lost, which would have undermined the very important investigation of the influence peddling and the Biden corruption scheme. So I think McCarthy decided the way to try to navigate this was to just presto say we're having an impeachment inquiry without getting it authorized by a vote, even though that's the very thing that he himself, among other Republicans, condemned in 2019 when Nancy Pelosi did it.
Thaddeus, you have a question for Andy.
Yeah, it's a question, a quick note. They also have a continuing resolution looming on the horizon to fund the government. I think the slim majority has leveraged the Freedom Caucus once again. My question to you, Andy, is to John's point, the headline, baseless, are there actual grounds for an impeachment? Forget about the politics of it, but legally, constitutionally, are there grounds for this?
I think, Thaddeus, that there is a more solid basis to impeach Biden now at this preliminary stage of their investigation than there was to file articles of impeachment and have a trial as they did with respect to Trump and Ukraine. That is to say, I think at this preliminary stage, they've already established more in the way of potential bribery and high crimes and misdemeanors than they ever did in connection with the Ukraine impeachment of Trump. So there's clearly grounds for it. The people who are hesitant to do it are not, I don't think, saying, even though the Democrats would obviously spin this differently, the Republicans who are hesitant about this are not saying that there's not a case there. I think the issue is that there are 18 Republicans who won in districts that were also carried by Biden in 2020. And then there are a number of other Republicans who, realizing that there's no way that you would actually get this guy convicted and removed in the Senate, and obviously they don't want President Kamala Harris in any event, they don't see the point of going through this exercise. So that's the reluctance of it, but it's not for the lack of a case. I think the evidence is not only strong, it's growing.
The New York Times runs this headline. We'll now turn to the Democratic preparation for this the entering into the impeachment inquiry. White House strategy on impeachment, full colon, New York Times, fight politics with politics. And the reason for this in the subhead, the White House says it is battling the inquiry in the court of public opinion since House Republicans have not issued any new subpoenas or laid out any potential articles of impeachment. This is the strangest impeachment, Andy. It's an impeachment that nobody much wants except for a small piece of the Republican caucus. And yet all of the information is already available without subpoenas, without articles of impeachment. We're doing this backwards. We went through the revelations that Mr. Comer's committee has come up with so far, redacted revelations in emails. There's an enormous amount of documentation here about the conduct of the vice president when he was dealing with his son and Burisma. Enormous. So the anticipation by the White House was that these documents would be fought over, but they're not being fought over. They're just letting them sit there, Andy. Isn't this a peculiar way to defend yourself?
Yeah, it's peculiar on both sides, John. First of all, I think given that McCarthy's position is sufficiently weak that he doesn't even believe he can bring this to a vote, I think the Biden people are only going to bring more attention to it at a time when it's starting to get traction with the public by fighting it this way. And on the as far as the House is concerned, you know, if James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, if he had issued a subpoena last week, that would be an Oversight Committee subpoena, and it would be enforceable, which means if the White House flouted it or the Biden administration flouted it, that could be a potentially impeachable offense by obstructing a congressional investigation. Now, because they have this inquiry in name only that they haven't voted to authorize, what the Democrats are going to say is we don't have to comply with any of these subpoenas because it's an illegitimate investigation, and we're relying for that conclusion on the Trump administration Justice Department's guidance that was issued in 2019, on the basis of which the Trump White House and the Trump administration refused to cooperate with the Ukraine impeachment effort. So by doing what they've done, they have given the patina of illegitimacy to congressional subpoenas that would have been perfectly legitimate just a few days ago.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Quickly, Andy, with McCarthy doing this without a vote of the House, we're setting a new precedent here where the Speaker can arbitrarily and unilaterally declare an impeachment proceeding without a vote of the House. And that will be a precedent that can be followed by Republicans and Democrats into the future, correct? Or are there some restraints on the Speaker's ability to do this?
Well, I think what McCarthy would say, Thaddeus, is that he is following the precedent that Nancy Pelosi established in 2019 when she proceeded to an impeachment inquiry without a vote of the House, to the great consternation and condemnation of House Republicans like Kevin McCarthy. And that was actually what drove the Trump Justice Department and its Office of Legal Counsel to issue legal guidance that said if the inquiry is not supported by a vote that establishes an impeachment committee and sets its jurisdiction, then it's not a legitimate impeachment inquiry. So what McCarthy is now saying is not that he's establishing a precedent, but that he's following the one that Pelosi had established and that he condemned. But if I'm perceiving correctly, the issue you're driving at behind the question, yes, this is a situation now where they are essentially trivializing impeachment because it's becoming almost like censure, except even censure you have to get a vote for. So I think this is – it's theater, and to me it's very foolhardy politics because this is a very important investigation. The House has made a lot of progress in the last 8 months. It's reflected in public opinion polls. More than 60% of Americans now think that Biden was up to his neck in the family influence peddling business. About 45% of Americans think he did something illegal. So in the last 8 months, they've moved the needle in the court of public opinion a great deal. And I just think this is going to set them back rather than have them moving forward.
I'm speaking with Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online and Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness about a peculiar process that's emerging from the House of Representatives about an inquiry of conduct of the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Biden, once upon a time with regard to Ukraine. There are other matters that can be discussed. There's a great deal to answer for the revelations on the Hunter Biden laptop that is no longer challenged as legitimate, that is accepted as documents of the conduct of the Biden family with overseas representatives of other states once upon a time. We're going to turn next to what can be done and how the president is responding in person to what we know right now is an impeachment inquiry by the House of Representatives. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.